The government hates beautiful women. You guys all might know a good friend of the show, Isabella DeLuca. She's also known controversially as the Cake Girl. Brian, if you can go to my screen here, she had put up this video a little while ago, which set off criticism across the internet after people noticed that there was something on full display, which I can't quite put my finger on. However, I'm going to play this video because things took a turn for the worse. Here's Cake Girl. All right, guys, settle down. I know seeing a giant cake like that can get you guys excited, but it turns out that Isabella DeLuca was just indicted by the United States, allegedly in connection with not a baking disaster, but actually involved with January 6th. I'm just going to say this right now. She's innocent. She's innocent, damn it. Now, we're actually going to be talking about this and so much more with conspiracy theorist, and I like to say, one of the greatest content creators and trending individuals on X, formerly known as Twitter, be hizzy later in the show. My name is Elijah Schaefer. We're going to be talking about this, the Rob Smith altercation of leaving the Republican Party, the issues with Tristan Tate and Jack Doherty, as well as other trending news stories and what's going on here on this episode of Nightly Offensive. We hope you enjoy the show. All right, let's jump into this. My guest today, Behizzy, as he said, I'm a conspiracy theorist, but you know what that means? It means he's cool. He knows what he's doing. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, I appreciate you for having me, man. First of all, you got something drastically wrong in the intro. I'm disappointed in you, you know? You said she was innocent? Nah, man, she is definitely guilty of inciting an erection. But yeah, no, one thing I want to talk about here is the fact that you are right. They hate beautiful women that are conservative. And now you full screened me. But hold on, while I'm full screened here, let's just point something out that's very important to everyone watching. I'm here as an affirmative action hire. The producers texted me and said, you want to be on the show? And I looked through the channel history, man. You have not had melanin in a few months. So I'm here, Chocolate Superman, Black Carlson. I'm here to deliver, man. So I can't wait for this, man. This is going to be exciting.
Well, yeah, I am excited. Now, some people are excited in more than just in their minds. I don't want to be too crass there. Obviously, like, we just have to get this out of the way. When the government touches two types of people, it ends up being where we draw the line. And one of those is when they get in the way of our children and when they get in the way of our beautiful women. This is the hard part about it. Now, the hard part about it may be that you're getting hard, but I hope that you're having a good mind on Christ and keeping things absolutely straightforward here. But the government did go after Isabella. Now, like, dude, Behizzy, I just got to ask you this. Before we even talk about the case and what's happening here, do you know Isabella? Did this shock you at all, finding out that the FBI is wasting their resources going after the Cake Girl?
So I don't actually know her. I've never heard the term Cake Girl. And this just kind of came out of nowhere. So I as soon as I saw some, you know, mainstream media sources talking about it, I looked at the arrest warrant and it said aiding and abetting in theft of government property. And I was kind of confused. I read an article where she touched a table. So I was like, all right, well, we got to put that tweet out. But I will say this. So I saw she followed me on Twitter and I followed her back. Immediately, I was like, first and foremost, am I doing this only because she's slightly attractive? Am I following her back because I really believe, you know, I need to hear from her tweets? But no, I did realize I was following her back for that exact reason. I don't think if she was a dude J6er, we would be talking about this. But we're here, Elijah, aren't we? Why are you guys doing this to me? Why are you putting me out there by myself, man?
All right, I'll be on the screen with you.
Look, you're gonna treat me like a black dad. You're just gonna leave me, get some milk, come back 20 years later when I make the league. What are you doing?
Dude, you should be hired at PragerU. They have this other black dude that was actually PragerU hires white people as their affirmative action hires.
Wait, Elijah, can I tell you why I don't follow you on Twitter anymore?
Why?
Look, you know, you did something to me that I don't think Jesus could forgive in all his infinite grace. You turned me racist. Let me explain, because this is really important. Dude, I would go around, and it was one day I saw a group of black teens just walking around, doing their thing, you know, with the dreads on, sweatpants. And I started clenching my purse, man. Clenching it. And then in my mind, I was like, what am I doing? I don't even have a purse. I've been following Elijah Shade. Dude, every morning, there was a video of black dudes beating up on some. it was crazy, man. What's going on with that?
Dude, okay. I want to say this. I'm going to get this clearly out there. I swear, like, there's this affirmative action hire at PragerU named Xavier, and I feel really bad because he's like in the Rob Smith category, like these guys who sort of like left the left, you know, and they think they've left the left, but they haven't really. And I'm rooting for them. Like, I hope they figure out that, like, they come into the right wing. They were like literally marching with communists 2 years ago, and then they start lecturing us on how we're supposed to talk, how we're supposed to behave. Kind of reminds me of like toddlers telling their parents the gender, their own gender, and their parents believing them. Like, you don't get mad at a toddler for saying they're a girl because they're like three and poop their pants. But as a parent, you don't encourage their misunderstanding of reality. So a lot of these like affirmative action guys have been really mad claiming that I'm racist because I'm posting videos. And I want to just say this. What I'm doing is no different than what Libs of TikTok does when she posts videos of transgenders and then they call her transphobic. I actually love the black community. Everyone knows this. I actually love it so much because I'm from LA, and I had black friends who literally hated the black people in their own community. The black community itself needs help. Not all black people need help. It just needs help. And they're uploading these videos. They're sharing them. I follow rap pages and stuff, and I just reshare their videos. And then people say that I'm racist for just reminding people to keep your guard up. So if it helps you, that's why my whole explanation was, I'm not just trying to help white people. Everybody should be aware of the systemic issues in our country, and everyone should be clenching their purse. Even if you don't have a purse, I said it's pretty good that you clenched it, because dude, these people will kill anybody and they will jump anybody. I've been jumped before, so I've learned the hard way. They will rock your shit and there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah, I don't think what you're doing is inherently like evil, you know? But come on, man. Every morning on my Twitter feed, there's some black chicks beating up on some kid on a bus. I was like, yeah, nah, man. I can't see this every morning. Yeah, I mean,
I'm chilling a little bit on the only reason why I'm chilling a little bit on the racial stuff is because we're heading into an election and I don't find it's like super helpful. Like, everyone knows that stuff, and now we just got to focus on like elections and hard issues and what's going on. But people can't get over it, dude, because I posted a video last night about something about race relations, and then everyone made it about black people, but it was actually a video of Hispanic and white people. So I don't even know. I think we're so trained to divide ourselves that people assume, but I might not get a follow back from you, but maybe one day.
Mainstream black culture promotes degeneracy, and, you know, Most, if not all rappers rap about killing and drive-by shootings and looting stores in the name of, I don't know, racial liberation. So all of these organizations promote that behavior that you see so often. And also in the classrooms, you have teachers telling black students that they were born with an inferior skin color. They're not saying it directly, but then they're saying that they're always going to be inferior because of the system, because of the white man. And so they already have an enemy. As soon as it's like a factory, they're made with an enemy. Every black person that goes through these inner city school systems come out hating white people, right? when you see kids just living together, all races, they don't have an inherent hatred towards one another. It only happens after the indoctrination, the music, and the promotion of degeneracy from the mainstream Black culture. So I don't think any of what you're pushing out there is that dissolved from reality. I mean, it happens. So, but yeah, nah. So I had to unfollow you, man. I was turning racist. I started thinking of these Black people, man.
I can't really ever hate Black people because, more controversially speaking, there is a certain group of people that run a lot of the music industry and Hollywood that sort of created the modern Black culture and prey upon Black people and push degeneracy on them in order to capitalize on other issues that were created by the government during the 1960s. I really can't blame them because those same people that are manipulating the Black community are also trying to replace white people in their own countries. They are creating a housing crisis. So there's a lot of the same people causing the same problems for the same group of people. And I want to talk about that. Plus, I want to jump right into the story about Isabella De Luca being charged, because you did put this out there and you're doing really well on X, man. Make sure you guys follow Behizzy there down below. Let me give a huge shout out to our sponsor for today, though, which of course is American Hartford Gold. Brian, if you can put this up on the screen, I just wanted to let you guys know something very important. The US dollar is collapsing, like beyond a shadow of a doubt. I am so shocked every day how little my money can actually buy. Someone told me the other day they went to McDonald's, bought a shake, a Big Mac, and a French fry, and it was over 17 US dollars, which is like more than a minimum wage to get a common order at a fast food joint, which means you have no excuse to not eat healthy anymore, and you also have no excuse to not transfer your dollars into something more profitable. Now everyone's like, well, yeah, Bitcoin. Bitcoin is good. So is Ethereum. But you see, it's crashing. It's going to go up and down. So you should diversify. Make sure that you're getting gold and silver with the only gold company I trust, American Hartford Gold. What's important about them is that they have thousands of five-star ratings with the Better Business Bureau. They are a perfect rated company, and you can get up to $5,000 of free silver right now when you call 855-699-8392. That's 855-699-8392, or text OFFENSIVE, OFFENSIVE to 65532. You can also click the link in my description. You can call them today. Find out how to transfer your retirement, your savings, your 401k, or any other investments you have directly into gold and silver backed accounts, plus into direct gold and silver today. Guys, don't let your money lose its value sitting in your account. And if you say, well, I don't have a lot of money, well, you can find out how to invest today by giving them a call or shooting OFFENSIVE to 65532. Anyway, let's jump right onto the story for today. If you can go to my screen real quickly here, Brian, we have this full arrest warrant by George Behizzy. The original post says here, breaking, the DOJ has charged influencer Isabella De Luca for touching a table that came out of the Capitol during January 6th. I repeat, she got charged for touching a table. She was arrested 3 days ago and specifically charged with 5 counts, which include theft of government property and aiding and abetting theft of government property. Parading, demonstrating, or picketing in a Capitol building, this is absolutely ridiculous. We all know Isabella De Luca. I just made actually a fake transition video with her the other day, which we watched on our last show. She was my previous trans self when I was Elizabeth Schaefer instead of Elijah. But you see, this image allegedly is her with a mask on, standing at top, I guess touching wood or something, or a table, or what is this? Let's break this down with Behizzy. Behizzy, tell me about how you found out about this charge. And when you read stuff like this, getting charged with theft of government property, aiding and abetting theft of government property, parading, demonstrating, and picketing in a government building. Tell me what your initial thoughts are on this, because I found out about this from you, and I think this is at 1.9 million views. I think the rest of the world heard about this from you.
So this would be similar to, I don't know, Laura Loomer going to the border. Let's say this government was competent and it actually, you know, charged people for going through the border illegally. It'd be similar to the government charging Laura Loomer for shaking the hand of the person that goes through the border illegally, because that's what this is. They're saying she touched this table. That means she was aiding in its theft. Now, I don't know Isabella. I don't know her PRs at the gym. I don't know if she works out. But I'm pretty sure she's not strong enough to even aid those men carrying that table. I don't know how heavy that table is. Maybe Isabella can come on the show and set the record straight that she can indeed lift more than 5 pounds. but I'm not certain. I'm too misogynistic to believe that they think her touching that table is actually her helping steal that table away from whichever office it came from at the Capitol building. You know, but we don't have to think any of this has to make sense for it to be insane. It doesn't have to make sense, Elijah. She just has to get charged. Another number added to the hundreds of people that have been charged. I mean, I talked to a friend of mine out of California. You might have heard of him before, Alpha Warrior, former police officer out there. He was just charged for a tweet. He put out a tweet. I mean, Owen Schroer, same thing. A tweet. They're going after people for just saying words. So I don't think any of this has to make sense. We're wasting time breaking it down. The simplest answer is this is bizarre and it's un-American. And these are the people going after Trump incorrectly, taking him out of context with the whole bloodbath thing. But they're doing this. Why would you not expect us to have an uproar, right? Now, all the my fellow simps in the chat, you're all in uproar right now. You want a revolution, 1776. This is the moment that did it. So these people are going to come at us. They're going to say, we're the crazy ones. Trump talking about the auto industry having a bloodbath if things continue the way they are. And they, you know, of course, take that out of context. And I think it's really projection of their fear that people aren't going to stand for their nonsense anymore. One of the things I talk about is election integrity. And I beat that drum every second. If they do it again, I don't know what this country could turn into. I don't know how ready the populace is to fight back and show the tyrants that they maintain a spirit of resistance. Y'all got to fire this producer, man. How you putting me up there while Elijah? Come on, man.
They like to see you full screen. They like you full screen. They like the ring light effect. We won't do it anymore. That's actually me doing that for a moment. So I'll fire myself.
Okay. Yeah. What was your take on it?
Dude, okay, so, like, okay, let's also joke for the fact that for the argument over Isabella DeLuca was whether or not she was indecently exposing herself on the internet by putting her breasts on display while baking a cake. That was actually a controversy that got a lot more heat than this, tens of millions of views. And it was an argument over whether or not...
Wait, that video you showed where she was just... Chilling.
Yeah, this led to like one of the largest controversies, and this is not a joke. People were saying this is not a joke.
Chested women that are saying this.
No. This was like a. I bet you if you even looked in the chat, not only would you find racism, but you'll probably also find because the chat I sometimes too toxic even for me. I read it, I'm like, holy crap, they're so brutal even to me. But the internet is not for the weak of heart. I'm telling you that if you're weak-hearted, you will not do well on the internet. But she had her breasts out in a shirt, and people were that was the argument of like, can big busted women have big breasts? Because like, should they be wearing burkas type of thing? I'm not even joking. It's like she's wearing a t-shirt, even though it's like, it's up here. There's no cleavage. That was really the argument. And I just thought it was funny because we just got done with like a 2-week long, most vicious, multi tens of millions of impressions worth of posts about this woman and her breast size, which I'm not even going to comment on. And now she's getting in trouble from the feds for touching the wrong wood, you know? So it's like it's ironic, right? Like she touched a long pole and now she's going to jail.
Come on, a lot of guys. Man, you ain't got to bring that joke into it. Look,
That is what it is. I literally read it. It's ironic because it's like, you can't make these jokes up. I literally couldn't have made this up. That's what she's getting charged for. And meanwhile, like, I bet you half these feds want her to arrest them. If you know what I'm saying, they want to be in handcuffs around her, not the other way around. So it's like, I look at this woman and I'm going, how do you think this woman poses a threat to anyone except for maybe men in relationships? You know what I mean? Or like men trying to follow God. Other than that, I don't really know what she's charging with. And that's why this whole thing's a sham. That's my initial thought of it, is just like, it's like the grandmas, the hot chicks. Like I'm only saying it because the most controversial thing she did was bake a cake. And now it's like, oh, she might go to prison. What?
Yeah. I think you might be right. The backlash from her baking a cake while she's out there with her melons out like Nancy Pelosi, it might have done it. That might have been what motivated the Fed actors. Look, they must all be gay, because clearly you can't make this decision of a straight mind, right? It must be a decision that comes from a foofy mind, as Family Guy put it. He's foofy. Lose off to the side, you know? Italians describing someone that's gay. But who knows, man? At the end of the day, it doesn't have to make sense. They'll indict you. They'll go after you. And Elijah, you know that personally. You got e-dited, which is a term used when you get indicted via email by the FBI. And so they'll go after you. It doesn't have to make any sense.
Yeah. So let me look at a couple of the aftermath here real quickly with you. So I love Dom Luker's response to this. He said, free, you can read. I'm not allowed to read that here on YouTube. What is it? I says, you can read this.
I do not say this word, not because I.
Okay.
Believe. Yeah.
Free my end. She ain't done nothing but touch a table and cook a pie. National Pulse. Now, I want to be careful to say this. I'm not bringing light to this. This is already viral. I wouldn't have done this. Like, I've known that she was there. I know a lot of things about a lot of people on this day, and I've taken a journalistic immunity with the federal. I get a lot of calls, I just want to say, about a lot of things, and I go with journalistic immunity. Have I been indicted before? Have I done any of these things? I cannot say online. But what I can tell you is this. Our Ryan J. Riley, January 6th defendant Isabella DeLuca, who allegedly helped steal a table used to assault officers. This is so crazy. During the Capitol attack, was an unpaid volunteer media associate for Gold Institute IS, which is strategy. Let's see. So I guess this is strategy is far more important than tactics. Tactics are far more important than technology. I don't know what this is. Whatever this is, gay, I don't want to follow this. It says here that she got released. So Eli M. Gold, the president of Gold Institute for International Strategy, told NBC News that DeLuca was hired as an unpaid volunteer media associate. So apparently she lost her internship. I think she's doing pretty well on social media, I would imagine. And also, I believe in traditional values. I know she wants to get married. So I know there's that benefit, too, that even if they do charge her, she may end up just, you know, getting married and a guy may end up providing for her. That's what she says she wants. I've read her tweets before. But I think this is pretty crazy because I don't know what this is, but I imagine it's some sort of a right-wing group, right? Is that what this is? Let me see. Strategy is far more important than tactics. Tactics. What is this? What even is this? The Golden Institute for International Strategy recently hosted an engaging international affairs meeting featuring insightful discussions by these people. So yeah, I guess it's some sort of a political group, and they fired her over this. I don't think anyone should be fired over charges that are bogus.
Well, did it say they fired her recently, or?
That's what I was told. I was sent this and told that they had, after she was charged, they took her name off like the website or whatever.
Yeah, it must be some kind of think tank. And, you know, her job was to tweet maybe and go out there and put things out on social media. But I mean, if they fired her over, you know, really, this is just, these are allegations, right? She has the ability to be proven innocent. But with the DC jury pool full of ugly women, I'm pretty sure the jealousy is just going to seep in and they're just going to say she's guilty. So really, Isabella could be getting pardoned by Donald Trump. You know, she'll get pardoned by Trump before she gets married. You want to bet on that?
I agree. I think if anyone really wants to get married, and this is my honest, respectfully to all the women on the internet, if you're really trying to get married and be a conservative woman, probably delete your social media and don't be on the internet. That's not saying you can't be on the internet if you're a woman or you want to, but if your goal is to be conservative and like a stay-at-home mom, seeking the validation, attention, and interactions of lots of strangers can be very toxic for a female mind. Take that as you wish, but it's very true. So that's,
yeah, I mean, there's no other reason why some of her pictures are exactly the way they are. And she has accumulated her, you know, following, not from being funny like you or slightly racist. No, you know, like, she's not even racist. She's just a chick. So, look, I have not met her yet, so I don't know her exact personality. I'm sure she's a great person, but if you are trying to get married, perhaps, just perhaps, you know, you want to be baking for your husband, baking in private, and not on the internet with your bazookas out. Man, come on. Weapons of mass destruction out here. Bill, George Bush wants to, you know why? That's my name, George, my first name. George is my name because my parents decided, ooh, we like this rhino, so we're going to name our son after him. Guess what my sister's name is? Barbara. It's crazy. They really love that Bush fam. I know, man. Don't
Do you want to hear something crazier? Do you know what my name was going to be if I was a girl? This is even crazier. Like, my parents didn't know my gender, so I still don't. But Dylan? they were gonna name me Hillary. I'm not joking. That was going to be my female name. I'm so glad I wasn't born a girl. They're going to name me Hillary. That's real.
Yeah, man. God is good sometimes. Well, not sometimes. All the time. He's good all the time. Oh, except when he let my parents name me after George Bush. You know, I would have even taken a Barack Obama or something.
What about George Washington Carver, though? Isn't that like a – didn't he invent peanut butter or something like that? Isn't that what they tell us?
I don't know, but they named me specifically after George Bush and gave my sister Barbara because that's someone else in the Bush. Is that George Bush's wife or senior?
Yeah.
I don't even know.
No, it is. But it makes me laugh because – I do think that George is actually still a good name. My son, I don't put his name on the internet, but has a very traditional, British name. Obviously, because my wife, they're from the colony, but I don't mind it. But we give very strong masculine names. Where my parents gave me Jewish names because obviously they were Protestant Christians in the 90s, so they gave all the guys Jewish names, and I don't know why. And everyone thinks I'm Jewish, which wouldn't be a bad thing. I just I'm not. So I don't know why my first and middle name are Jewish. And then my last name, it doesn't make it any better, is also a common Jewish
surname. Well, actually, you might be, because as soon as I popped into this live stream, you were trying to sign me to a contract, take 20% of my money, and force me to wear a dress. That's just what happened. I'm just saying it might. There's a possibility out there.
Sign on the used condom, right? That's what I said. I sent you a used condom. Sign on the used condom, and you don't want to know where it's been. Dude, no, listen, I do want to, because I want to transition in a second, topics, that is, because, but I only want to conclude here. I need to put this on the screen, because I don't like doing activism, but Isabella is actually a friend of the show, okay? She was actually supposed to be on the other day, which is, now I know why she wasn't. I didn't know why. I was like, we didn't hear from her. Now this makes a lot of sense. Although we have been in communication since this has occurred. Go to my screen here, Brian. I'm going to put the link in the chat because I think this is really important. I'm putting it in both the YouTube, can I put it in both? Let me see real fast. So I'm putting it in the YouTube chat. And I'm also going to throw it in the Rumble chat as well. Let me just say this. Okay, cool. I put it in the chat because you guys can give to her GoFundMe. I will be donating, by the way, 100%. You guys can check that I will be donating to this. It is really hard as a content creator, that's all I'll say, maybe I'm and slightly racist shitbag, to donate to everything that I donate to. I'm not here to flex and say that I'm donating. What I'm saying is I get a lot of pressure to donate to a lot of things. And I've also turned down a lot of money over the years, as you guys know, getting canceled by Black Rifle Coffee, a lot of things like that. We've lost seven figures over the last several years. That's made it harder to donate a lot more money to more people. But we continue when people have legal funds on the show and there is real things and they're fighting against the government. We do always give, and I always do. And I encourage you guys to remember that giving does not need to be Andrew Tate $25,000. $5 goes a long way. So if you feel convinced to give to this fund, please do, because I can tell you this, I have legal bills from January 6th and they are in the six figures, and I have had to spend a down payment on a house on legal bills. So it is very, very expensive. And if you don't have a lot of money, it is very hard. So please
support. Wait. How did you get six figures in J6 legal bills? How did that happen?
We've had, in the very beginning, I will just lean on
lawyer
this.
Attorneys or I mean lawyer fees?
Yes, I will leave it at this in saying that the case has been so complicated that the largest legal firm that handles these cases actually dropped my case like about 4 weeks into it because it became so expensive, so convoluted, and so complicated that we actually had to find a special ex-prosecutorial attorney that's friends with the judge in all of the cases, that I'm not going to go any further than that, who had to directly take it on singularly because we couldn't find an actual firm, because it involves potential Supreme Court litigation, and it also involved blackmail of certain legal representatives because they kind of wanted to prosecute me. And then they illegally, which I've talked about before and I've shown on the screen here, they illegally obtained access through a FISA warrant into my phone and my iCloud, and then put a gag order on Apple. And then they lied on the paper, the assistant attorney general did, saying I wasn't a journalist, to get the warrant. And then they lost the gag order. Then Apple alerted me, and there's this whole legal stuff. It's all legal and it's all up in the air, so I can't really explain more, but it's been violation of personal rights is all I'm going to say. My case, if it ends up going to court, we'll go to the Supreme Court. The Gateway Pundit is in the Supreme Court today. I just want to let you guys know, we actually are in the Supreme Court today over a similar issue. So they do see our cases, and this would be another Supreme Court issue. Before we jump into that, I do just want to give a huge shout out as we transition here to one of our sponsors for today. Guys, I'm talking to you about the wellness company, and we are going to talk about more, but I need you to understand something really important. The government hates you. They hate me. And the most vital thing you have to realize is during the last scamdemic, they made certain medication illegal, especially out here in Australia. You couldn't get ivermectin. Even if a medication wasn't illegal in certain states, they wouldn't prescribe it. And then we went through an antibiotic shortage. So basically, you have like three options if you get sick. You can go spend a very, very extemporaneously high amount of money at an emergency room, unless you're illegal, of course. This advertisement's not for illegal aliens, because you guys get free healthcare. But you can go spend $500,000 there on an emergency room visit if you get sick. You can go wait a week or 2 weeks in our backed up healthcare system, still pay $150 in copay. Or, of course, you can go to Mexico. But if you want to do something different, you can have this emergency kit from the wellness company, which has ivermectin, amoxicillin, Z-Pak, all of the antibiotics that you need in an emergency pack. These help treat all basic bacterial and viral infections, including COVID-19. And, of course, you can get it right now and save 10% off at my code twc.health/offensive. Go check this out, because it has everything that you need to fight not only current bacterial and viral infections and avoid the doctor, which I don't like to go to, but also some not so fun diseases, including things they don't want me to mention. You can see a huge list on the screen of things that might be a little more embarrassing and disgusting. But if you want privacy, even if you're fighting an infection right now and you want to find a way to not go to the doctor, not tell somebody, go ahead and check this out. Go to twc.health/offensive. That's twc.health/offensive for 10% off your kit today. Behizzy is with me today, and we were just closing up our discussion on Isabella DeLuca. So I just want to get your opinion on this as we go to the next topic. Is do you think there's something deeper at play here? For instance, I'll just say, they're trying to charge as many people as possible to make a greater case against Donald Trump. Like, they could say, we've charged, 1,622 people with charges like aiding and abetting theft and this and that, to kind of create a disqualifying case against Trump. Or is this just, something different, like the persecution of Trump supporters, or really just the deep state, the intelligence agencies gone rogue? Everyone has their own opinion, but I since you're on the show today, I'd love to know what you think is really going on here.
That's a really good question, because you look at the J6 case against Trump, it's falling apart. The Supreme Court, based on their recent rulings, I'm not exactly confident, but I think they're probably going to rule that Trump is, man, how are you going to give me this great question and then pull up pictures, thirst traps? Elijah, I'm on a roll here, man. Come on.
All right. For the sake of the men here, we'll take off the headline.
All right, just put me on this roll like eggs in Chinese food. But so I think with the J6 case falling apart, that's going to be tossed for presidential immunity. And then the documents hoax, Donald Trump is going to get away with that. He didn't commit any crime, so I don't know what he's getting away with. But Judge Eileen Cannon, in my opinion, is going to rule that Trump should have the case dismissed for selective prosecution, because you have Robert Hur, who literally came out with a report that said Joe Biden committed the exact same crimes they charged Trump for, but we can't go after him because he'll present himself to a jury as a well-meaning old man with bad memory. So that case is gone. So none of these cases need fueling because they're dying. So the only explanation is they want to go after everyone else, and they have failed to get Trump kicked off the ballot. So the next best step is to ramp up those J6 numbers. I'm hearing from a lot more people. They came after me. They busted down my house. And did you watch that reporter from, was it Breitbart or the Daily Wire? Or the Blaze? I don't even remember.
I think it was the Blaze. Steve Baker, correct? The older gentleman, gray hair.
I believe it might have been him. The one they shoved into the car. It's like, this guy's walking with you. He's compliant. He ain't George Floyding you. He's not, I can't breathe. He's not doing any of that. He's not asking to be tackled, but they're pushing his head down. And I just looked at that and I went, that's what it's about. It's about a showcase of power. And if you can show that power to enough people enough times, you're hoping they become terrified, but it's having the opposite effect because everyone is just, ah, they indicted Trump. Okay, it happens. Let's just double down on our viewpoints. So it's not working in any way whatsoever. They're losing the narrative war. It's not relating to J6, but the New York Times came out with an article saying Trump supporters are winning the war on election integrity. And they said, you know, they're winning the war when it comes to the poll numbers, showing that most people believe irregularities, this, that, and the other. So we're here now, and it's probably the same thing for J6. Most people are like, wait, this girl got charged for touching a table, but they didn't charge Jeffrey Epstein for touching kids. Like, that's the priority of this government. So I think people are seeing right through this, and I don't think it benefits any of their other cases against Trump. Also, you notice there's no 1512 obstruction of Congress charge in there. You know, they're trying to get her for aiding in a theft, blah, blah, blah. But there's no 1512 obstruction of Congress, which, by the way, Matt, if you were subpoenaed by Congress to bring documents to Congress, you could not obstruct a congressional investigation by not bringing those documents. But they tried to say, actually, obstruction of an official congressional proceeding actually means protest. It never covered political events. So if you were there in the Capitol protesting, that charge could not be applied to you because you weren't obstructing a congressional proceeding by doing something that was involved in the proceeding, like withholding documents. It doesn't make any sense, but they didn't charge her with that because it's going to fall apart too. The Supreme Court, in my opinion, is going to say, all these hundreds of J6ers that have been charged with this thing, that it doesn't work. And by the way, that's the biggest charge for most of these J6ers. The other ones are like, you picketing, you were there, you trespassed. But obstruction of Congress is the one they really pushed. But imagine if that falls apart. And that's going to fall apart in the Trump case too. So now they're just trying to manufacture new ones. You stole something when you touched the table. That's the new thing. So, Elijah, man, it's crazy.
It makes me upset because I don't want to spend more than maybe 10 minutes on this with you, but I do think we need to talk about this because we just saw a hoax play out on the internet yesterday over the weekend. And there's so much we can break down. You've mentioned it twice already. I'm talking about the bloodbath hoax. So there have been countless articles that explains that Trump said that if he is going to lose, that there is going to be a bloodbath. That's what the media says. You can go Google this. There is just countless articles saying Trump says if I lose, there's going to be a bloodbath. Now, before we even look at the video and before we even talk about that, I want to explain to you like what some people are saying here. They're saying Trump, literally, like Joe Scarborough was saying, that he's never heard the term bloodbath to describe anything from MSNBC. This is literally means Trump wants to kill people. Now, here's the clip that is actually in play. You tell me if you watch this and you think Trump is talking about a bloodbath, as in if he doesn't win, we're going to go murder a bunch of people who didn't vote for him, or B, the secondary definition, or tertiary definition of bloodbath, which is used in economic situations to talk about an extreme or catastrophic event, often economic, that usually means there's going to be serious fallout and problems. Tell me what you think is what they say.
Before you play that, what's John Doyle doing right behind Trump, man? What's going on there?
Oh, right. Oh, which one? Here, here. This one?
Oh,
this
right
one?
There, man. No, the other one. Come on. What's he doing out there? Come on, John.
You know what? He's a man of many hats, or very few, I should say, because he's out here with his glasses. We see you, man. Honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if he was there. Shout out to John Doyle, who hasn't been on the show in a very long time. Let's go ahead and let's play this and listen what you think's going on here.
They want to do this all electric nonsense where the cars don't go far, they cost too much, and they're all made in China. And the head of the United Auto Workers never probably shook hands with a Republican before. They're destroying. You know, Mexico has taken over a period of 30 years 34% of the automobile manufacturing business in our country, think of it, went to Mexico. China now is building a couple of massive plants where they're going to build the cars in Mexico and think that they're going to sell those cars into the United States with no tax at the border. Let me tell you something to China. If you're listening, President Xi, and you and I are friends, but he understands the way I deal, those big monster car manufacturing plants that you're building in Mexico right now, and you think you're going to get that, you're going to not hire Americans, and you're going to sell the cars to us now, we're going to put a 100% tariff on every single car that comes across the line, and you're not going to be able to sell those cars. If I get elected, now, if I don't get elected, it's going to be a bloodbath for the whole, that's going to be the least of it. It's going to be a bloodbath for the country. That'll be the least of it.
Yeah, Behizzy, so you hear this. I just want to get your take. What do you think the context is here when he's saying bloodbath, genuinely?
I mean, he's clearly talking about the auto industry. And, of course, the media needs something because their whole narrative is Trump is dangerous for our democracy. So they need something. And it's a projection of a fear that the people of this country are going to revolt if they pull the shenanigans they pulled in 2020. It's as simple as that. Everyone knows right now in 2020, things were not so swell, right? When they're boarding up windows and you can't see what they're doing, when a pipeline burst on the other side of the country, I think the pipeline burst in Australia. It was probably your bathroom leaked and Fulton County was like, that means we have to stop. So I think when they're pushing that narrative out there, it comes from a genuine fear that this country is not going to accept another shenanigan. They're not going to do it. And that's why they're pushing this narrative, I think.
Well, and I agree with you. And I think what's crazy, though, is the hoaxes is like we saw with the very fine people on both sides with Charlottesville. It's interesting to watch them literally create the hoax in real time. I know a lot of other right-wing shows are probably going to spend an hour on this because this is like they're not creative and they just focus on anything with Trump to grift. I don't think there's so much to say here. I do think it is worth noting some funny, like just hearing people, though, like create the hoax. Here's a good example. Go to my screen. Like I mentioned, MSNBC acting like they've never heard the term bloodbath before. Then we'll look at a couple interactions of the media actually talking about using the same word. It's so hilarious. Listen.
But again, I've never really heard people discuss macroeconomics in terms of bloodbaths. I've never really heard people discuss macroeconomics in terms of bloodbaths. I've never really heard people discuss macroeconomics in terms of bloodbaths. I've never really heard macroeconomics in terms of bloodbaths. I've never really heard macroeconomics in terms of bloodbaths. But again,
I mean, and looking at this, I actually just looked the other day. I'm like, hey, man, I wonder if there's actually been any tweets as well about this that were from any local publication. So I went ahead and looked up bloodbath, even in Australia, right? Just to see if there was any use. Let me go down to it here real quickly. And it made me laugh because there's plenty of uses of the term bloodbath, even out here in our publications. Give me just one moment. Oh yeah, here it is. Okay, go to my screen here, Brian. Yeah, if you go to the actual definition on Merriam-Webster, as well as other dictionaries, it literally has a major economic disaster as the definition, but Merriam-Webster changes definitions. They'll probably change it, by the way. I can almost guarantee they're gonna change the definition. Here is literally the Financial Times, one of the largest publications out here. The restaurant biz faces a bloodbath, but there are ways to survive. Then you go down here, this is like international. One of the top videos on YouTube with 467,000 views when you look up economic crisis literally is called Bloodbath Has Just Begun. You go to local publications here, not even international. The Sydney Morning Herald says, bloodbath, fear is rising that markets are about to break something. And when you even go, I looked this one up, the Capital Economics Word Glossary. Like you look up a international database of economic words and it literally has a giant writing from the 2016 explaining how to use bloodbath in context with the economy. So it's like, because They're still running with this regardless of all the evidence out there. And that's where I'm getting frustrated. It's because the right-wing grifters always go like, oh, boom, Boom, we just proved them wrong. Boom, that's in the dictionary. Yeah, buddy, like I said, they're going to rewrite it. Boom, it's in the media. Yeah, they're going to delete these articles. They're going to change the words. They're going to put notes. It doesn't do anything.
The good news is, Elijah, this is great clickbait material for us content creators, because bloodbath can be our new big word. Big bloodbath. You know, look, if I knew that word about 2 weeks ago when Nikki Haley lost a billion states, that would have been really useful. Bloodbath on Super Tuesday. Here's something that I think is interesting, though. I don't remember Cenk Uygur, however you say his name, coming out and saying, actually, guys, Trump didn't say there are good people on both sides. It's taken out of context. And actually, this is the full thing. He didn't do that. But he did it this time. And that tells me the narrative isn't working. It's not even working with deep liberals. I mean, the ones you see on Twitter, they're extremely loud, but that they're not normal people. They sit on Twitter all day. They don't work. They collect checks from the government to stay at home. And I think the majority of people in the country, maybe they might check Twitter, but all they saw on Twitter was the actual context. So, and by the way, all of these mainstream media organizations have lost in the, you know, double digits percentage wise of their viewership. So no one's reading these sites. The headline is all that matters. No one actually read each article. We just read the headlines, and most people read headlines, but we didn't have Twitter. So I don't blame some of the conservatives going, we won this one, because I think we did. I don't think old Twitter would have allowed Biden's border bloodbath to trend, but that's the number one trending thing on Twitter right now. So if anything, the amount of people posting about this and showing the full context, many on the left too, they actually ended up helping people that were normies understand, wait, what if everything else about Trump that they said, what if that comment they said he made was actually taken out of context? And I honestly, these things are good, because they're probably realizing, oh crap, community note to striking MSNBC, it's not a good look. It ruins their credibility. And now I think a lot of people in the country for the first time are just seeing the truth right there. They're seeing the hoax get invented. Beforehand, we probably wouldn't have been able to defend them on Twitter, because we didn't even have accounts. We would have just been banned or shadow banned. But now Elon has a tweet with 150 million people that saw it, that saw the actual context. Some other people have 20 million, 30 million. And it's like, actually, they didn't win that narrative war. And it might be frustrating right now to see it, but whatever. It's what the mainstream media does, but it's not as effective.
Well, I think that you say that. I want to play this last clip here, because look, we're not going into a discussion about the Holocaust. But when it comes to a telling of our history, whether it's who Trump was, I think we all started waking up when people are like, Trump is literally Hitler. They would say that, right? Trump is literally Hitler. And you're going, well, Trump's pretty cool. So that's not good PR, because Trump's pretty cool. And you're saying Trump is Hitler. So then are you saying Hitler's cool? Now, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying they don't realize how much they shoot themselves in the foot by making these comparisons. And it's not, they weren't just doing this in 2016. This is The View now explaining that this Trump using this word might lead to another Holocaust. This is like, yeah, this, it might lead to a Holocaust. Check this out.
It scared me, honestly. You know, I didn't think ever in my lifetime I would see that. I've been watching this show called The New Look, and it goes over what designers were doing in Paris during World War II, during the Nazi occupation. And one character says to another, you know, we took all the things that the Jews had. We took their homes, we took their jewelry, we took all of those things. And now the next step is to dehumanize them, to make sure that they to show people that they have no soul, that they are not human. And he is using that kind of World War II rhetoric that led to the deaths of the murders of 6 million people. And now he is otherizing brown people. He is otherizing black people. He is saying things like this: I don't think you're going to have another election if I don't win, or certainly not an election that's meaningful. He's saying the quiet part out loud. If I am not elected, we are going to see January 6th again. And I think we need to be on guard to make sure that we preserve our democracy so that our country looks the way that it should look, like all of us. It's a diverse country.
And how should it look, Behizzy? Do we want more intersection takeovers, gangs, mass looting? I don't think the state of the country is in a very constructive or healthy place.
Yeah.
Can you just break this down? Because I can't tell if this is really her thoughts and she's just an NPC, or if this is like some sort of like MK Ultra programming for NPCs to like.
Might be. You know, there's two things I picked off. I mean, these people, they love using that one H, and it'll be another one, another bad genocide. Well, yeah, really evil things happen. I've never heard them go, this will be like another Rwandan genocide. I've never heard that. Or the Bosnia genocide. I've never heard those ones. I always ever, actually, you know, a lot of Russians also died around that same time. No one ever talks about that. So I just think it's interesting that they only ever, you know, talk about this will be, it's like the upper echelon of human evil. And it's like, you know, actually Stalin and Mao were murdering their own people like 10 times that amount. And it's like, you know, we just forget about that. So that's one thing. Second thing I think is important, that narrative can't work anymore. It's too robotic now. I think when you read numbers like Trump leading with young people, 18 to 29, one, I credit that to Andrew Tate. It's funny. I think he came out with a message that young men really loved. The traditional conservative message on Twitter or in any conservative circles is get married young, have a bunch of kids. And, you know, it was a message spread out of a good place, but it lacked nuance, you know. Marriage is actually complicated these days, and you need to offer a little bit more of a better perspective. And Andrew Tate came out of nowhere and woke a lot of young men up. And they're now going with Trump because they think Trump is cool and all these other things. And so this can't work, this idea of fear-mongering people. It can't work. People are not looking at Trump going, he's evil. They're thinking about their bank account. They're thinking about when they go to the grocery store, how everything costs 40% more. They're thinking about how they can't afford their mortgage. They're thinking about why their kids are coming home, going from male to female. They're thinking about all the things that they can see in their lives. When these people go, Trump's evil. Nah, people are comparing 2019 to 2023. And they can see that life was just better under Trump. And they're associating that fun time in their life with Donald Trump. So I don't see any way this works. It's not, I mean, you could have tried this in 2016. You could have done it because Donald Trump was an unknown quality. You didn't really know if he was authentic gold or, you know, shiny black rapper gold. Like, this is shiny, but it ain't real. I thought that one would run with you because, you know, black rapper. But anyways.
No, I did. I'm just concentrated because I'm concerned because this stuff actually matters to me only a lot of people that were on the left during last elections have like left the left and they've been hired by sister organizations and they now work in the right wing and they're still very left in their ideology, as I referenced earlier. And so a lot of these like hoax and things that are going on and a lot of these issues have like permeated into our movement, and a lot of these people still like they don't even know that they believe so many lies about our own movement, and they think, like, as you saw with Rob Smith, I don't know if you saw this, he quit the Republican Party, this guy Rob Smith, which we can look at, this black guy, because he like sort of created like a hoax that everyone called him the N-word and the F-word. And I was laughing because even though there was no evidence that he was a victim of a hate crime and he went on CNN to complain about the right wing being full of Nazis and homophobes, I was just laughing because, like, dude, even if people did call you the N-word and the F-word, even if people were rude, why would you quit the Republican Party because some people said mean things to you? Like, that's ridiculous. Like, yeah, I just think that our party is very weak. And I've been seeing a lot of people that I know become independents and very central because they're – it's it's really getting tough to support Trump now. You can really go to jail. You can lose everything. I was just demonetized on X for reporting on a story, on a news story. And then they said it was maybe an accident, then reviewed it, and then went, nope, sorry. And then they smashed my account and a bunch of other right-wing news accounts recently. And I'm a credentialed journalist, and it was just a news story. It wasn't anything racial, nothing like that. Just a total regular news story. And I just see it ramping up, right? And people getting their channels deleted on YouTube, that it's just very serious to me because I see things getting really bad really quickly. And I think
you exist in the bubble that most content creators exist, which is content creation, right? It's a world where you're constantly talking about stories and sensationalism matters. So you're looking for the best stories that would drive the most viewers. That's why you're very successful. But most people live in normie world, which is go to work, come back home, and go to sleep, go to church maybe on Easter, and then just skip it till Christmas. So the world you live in, you and I live in as well, we're not really, I think I'm a little different because I go to a barbershop and all black barbers, and every single one of them is voting for Trump. And they wouldn't have done that in 2016, or maybe not in 2020, who knows? And it's a trend. I'm seeing it. I'm seeing that change, that shift. I know friends that I went to high school with, super liberals. They're the most based people now. My friends are texting me about wars going on, and I'm like, man, you never cared about that stuff a few years ago. So I can see why you're one of the things that's concerning to you is Rob Smith. But let's be honest here. The average American doesn't know who Rob Smith is. No, honestly.
You're right.
Even I'm sitting here. I had to remember, oh, the gay guy. I had to really like think, oh, that guy. No one watches CNN. That's normal, unless they're at the airport and are forced to. So I think our world could be warped by the environment we're in. But if you're actually like in the real world, you see people, you talk to people, there's a shift happening. It's crazy that Chicago is talking about Trump can come out here. We'll listen to him. They're going to city council meetings saying we're voting red. And dude, for the first time ever, I'm going on YouTube and I'm watching some black people channels and they're just openly talking about Trump. For the first time ever, it's normalized to talk about Trump. So I understand there's a weird movement with, you know, sketchy individuals coming into this movement. But I would not let that, I don't know, change the reality of what's actually taking place. Everyone in the chat lives in the real world. Elijah lives in a studio world. Come on,
dude, hey, don't give them too much credit. Some of these people spend more time online than I do. Like, those people in the chat are like, they're like always on the internet. No, but I'm with you. I think it is warping. Also, remember, I am in Australia. So my understanding of what's going on in the United States is dependent upon what's being spoken about on the internet right now, right? So, I mean, I have friends and I talk to them on a regular basis, but I'm not living in the midst of it. And so there could be a little bit of a disconnect there.
Yeah. I don't think it's completely predictable, or we would have ever thought black men in Fulton County would go to a city commissioner's meeting and talk about Fannie Willis and roast her, expose her. I don't think that would have ever happened. I don't think, you know, you would see the Hispanic shift that we're seeing right now. I'm watching, I'll go to Instagram sometimes and there's some Mexican dude, who you voting for? He probably can't vote. He ain't even got papers. Trump. I'm like, man, you don't even have papers and you're going to vote for Trump? Please do. You know, if they send you that mail-in ballot, because Democrats send it to anyone. So just be reassured that in the normie world, that our side is prevailing. We got Elon Musk. And I know Elon he's a sketchy guy, because on one hand, he'll say something so true and then do something so stupid. He knows the woke man mind virus. And then his next policy is stopping people from questioning or misgendering something. It's so weird. But the guy is openly talking about the border. He's openly calling out the narratives. And the normies listen to Elon. And I just think that the culture has shifted drastically. And normie world is different.
I'm with you on that. I want to talk about one. Do you have like ten more minutes to go through one more segment?
I want to do one more segment with you.
Before we go to that though, I want to give a huge shout out to our last sponsor of today's show, which of course I'm talking about Purge Store. Guys, this has been such a cool product because as you know, there are many natural ways that you can basically, clean out your gut. We have prebiotics, probiotics, and it's important. Death does start in the colon. I did know a guy named Neil Beale. He was over 100 years old, and he always told me that. How's your colon? And because it's true, right? You are what you eat, and what you eat can determine your future. Mood is affected by what you eat. Even your well-being, hormones are affected by what you eat. Basically, it's important. Now, a lot of our gut bacteria are screwed up, and sometimes we even have parasites living inside of us. Now, there's plenty of natural ways to get rid of parasites, but it's a lot of different things. And the guys at PurgeStore.com put it together into a capsule that can help to clear your gut. Now, I had friends use this before I put on the show, and it worked for them. Then some of you guys started using it, emailing it. I've showed some of the stories on the screen. This isn't like some miracle cure. It's like, oh, you know, you're going to not be fat anymore. No. What this is this actually is a very natural way to help clear your gut and to start over so that you can have a free-flowing gut. And it can actually, I'm telling you this, a lot of you are backed up, a lot of you have issues, and you need to get a cleanse going immediately. So if you've been feeling bloated, even some of these parasites and things can lead to cancer down the road. This is actually true. And so this, again, is not promising a miracle cure to any disease. This is simply just helping you to rid your bowels of things that should not be in your gut, okay? Like, just should not be there. Check it out today at PurgeStore.com. PurgeStore.com, promo code Elijah for 10% off. You can get the link in the description, and I encourage you to try it. It's really easy, just requires taking one thing, you know, just take it every day. And you tell me if it works, because it has worked for a lot of people. And, I don't have any gut problems right now, but I'm thinking about getting it for my wife, because she does, and she'd kill me if I said anything else other than that on the show. So we'll leave it at that. She'll wipe me up, but test it and see what it has to do in store. Go to PurgeStore.com, promo code Elijah. Also remember, too, that the sponsors we have on this show usually support us and like know that we're demonetized everywhere. We've been demonetized since January 7th, right after the Capitol protest. We got actually all of our social media deleted. And then we're like, hey, I'm actually a journalist. And then they demonetized my YouTube channel, and we've been hit everywhere. But guess what? We've survived, because we don't have a large audience, but we have a dedicated one. You guys are really cool. And hell yeah, I love you guys. You guys have been here through this thick and thin. So thank you guys for supporting, and make sure to support the sponsors, because they keep the show alive. And now we don't take any tech money. Now we're demonetized on X. I'm going to try to get that one reversed, but we have no big tech money, which means that we can kind of say and do whatever we want, which is awesome. So thank you guys for helping us stay censorship free. Anyway, Behizzy, I wanted to talk to you about this next segment here, which I thought is not really that important, but it is cultural, and you do comment on cultural stuff. There's this recent guy who's really popular, who's an online pimp named Jack Doherty. If you can go to my screen here, Brian, don't worry, I'm not gonna show anybody graphic, but if you go to his screen here, he's clicked for spicy content. So he's got a free OnlyFans. There's nothing pornographic, guys, don't worry. Look, I feel weird. That just looks like a 12-year-old, 13-year-old teenager's body, but apparently he's an adult. He's one of the largest kick streamers that is currently on the internet. And maybe I'm just 30 and I'm getting old, but this guy looks really, really young to me. Before I even jump in, Behizzy, do you know about this guy? You know anything about Jack Doherty?
I know a little bit about that world, because as a Gen Zer myself, I'm 22. I'm forced to know. I gotta know this guy. Dang.
Yeah. Okay. Me too. So basically, there's this fight going on. And we don't talk about personal drama, but this is actually more a spiritual conversation or a question that I wanted to talk to Behizzy about before he leaves. As you guys know, I like to have spiritual aspects to the show, because I think it's the most important thing. Although I know not all of you guys are spiritual or Christian, so we like to keep it based on relevant events. Basically, he's been putting up these pictures with his Louis Vuitton bag, his Philippe, I don't even know what that watch is, some brand, I've seen it before, a Lamborghini, and there's a lot of this flexing culture, right? Like, he's showing he's sleeping, and he's like, I don't keep nothing at my crib, don't even try. Now, somebody said, You dislike him because he's richer than you. I dislike him because he's a fag. We are not the same. And Tristan Tate, who's the brother of Andrew Tate, said he's poorer than me and a fag, which has led to essentially a fight here on the internet. Let me say, it's probably right down here. Yeah, fighting between Tristan Tate saying, how much money did he make at me than me at 20? You can't compare us. I've done way more at my age than you did. You're mad. I figured it out earlier than you. Now, the reason why I want to talk about this is because what does Jack Doherty do? Jack Doherty makes his money from online content creation. He has TikToks with really attractive, apparently some of them are in contract before they're 18, but they go public at 18. So reminding you, some states, it's not illegal to have sex with someone under 18, but to do sexual work is illegal. In Australia as well, it's 16. But I think it's 16 to have sex, but 18 to do sex, to do prostitution, right? So I want to bring this up.
Because this is like, now we know why you moved.
No. I'm good. I always say for the case of that argument, I'm from California. So 18 is 18. And also there's no good age for a girl to be a prostitute. That's literally my conclusion is like the age of consent is a dumb argument because we're arguing when women are ready to be whores. And I say there's no good age for them to be whores. So let's not have that argument. But I will say the argument here, and I want to talk to you about this, is online content creation now is fueled by prostitution and sex work. The biggest guys, he's getting 18-year-olds on his show, on his TikTok, everything, making content with them, but they're not making their big money on content. What they're really making is the money on the OnlyFans. And they're using all of the content to drive people to these girls' sex work that they're doing on the internet. So as a Gen Zer, I'm talking about this. This is not what content was when I was younger, and nobody would boast about doing sex work or prostitution publicly. What are your thoughts on this, man? That it seems like the highest paid, best ranking individuals, men and women, he's basically an online pimp, are now making content with the sole purpose of driving teenagers into porn addiction. When the hell did this happen? And is this norm? Is this like just where we're at today? Because it just blew my mind that this is like the greatest content creator. And when I looked up what he does, realizing that it's all about driving people to porn. Like, this is not what happened when I got into it. I don't know if this is how it was a few years ago, but give me your thoughts on this about how this is the most popular content and what you think about these guys fighting over who makes the most money off of prostitution. I think it's lame, but I'll leave it to you on that.
I'm going to be honest, I can't represent my generation here because I don't understand the appeal of going on a private page and paying for a woman's body parts that you would have probably found on her Instagram anyways. If a girl is literally a thought, chances are everything you need to see is already on her Instagram. She might hide 9%, but you know, the other 91% is out there on display for free. So I don't know why someone would just be dumb enough to do something like that. But I think there is a lonely epidemic. And I blame the church for this. And the reason I blame the church is because the church is not involved in culture. The left, they're really good at giving solutions. You know, that will destroy your life, of course. But our side, you know, the believer side has not really gotten involved in the public square to scream out the right solutions. We've also allowed society as a whole to just deteriorate. So people don't look forward to anything. They don't look forward to marriage because the institution, by our agreement, has been dismantled, started with the Supreme Court. And we have to blame ourselves because this country, as John Adams said, was literally created for a moral and religious people. And if we want to preserve it, the moral and religious people, I mean, this is what's going, come on, man. This is the generation now.
Yeah, so, that's what I'm asking. Is the clout really worth this? They both claim to be straight and they're like gay baiting, kissing. I'll just take it off now. But that's the kind of content creators are creating. Is that what this is now? We just like, you know what I mean? Like, what is this? I find this is almost all creators are linking you to some sort of pornography or something, which is like, so content creation is now a funnel just to get you into like porn, which like you said, is free. So I don't know what the point is.
Yeah. And I don't even think it should be free. I think it should be illegal. I mean, Texas did a really good thing by mandating that all of these sites have age verification. It's funny because you go on a gun site, they at least ask you if you're, and by the way, that's the only constitutionally protected business, the Second Amendment. You can own a gun store because we have a right to own guns. But they have to ask you, are you 21? Are you 21? Are you 21? On every site, I know friends with gun stores. If they don't do that, that's jail time. Yet, a 12-year-old can just click on a site, access the most obscene images in 5 seconds. That's sad. And we allowed that to happen because, again, it was our job to preserve the institutions, to stay on the right track. And the left, the far left, just infiltrated every institution and pushes this garbage. And the industries, the players that have promoted this in the industry, they're out there, and you know, they all follow similar belief systems, and they're all of a similar kind of people, which I have no problem with those people in general, but they're pushing really bad things. They also own a lot of media. I'm saying, look, we have to reclaim these institutions from Ben.
Yeah,
who's
they though?
No, I'll let you decide which Ben I'm talking about.
No, we know. I mean, dude, and that's the reality. Like, I really, it doesn't work on me. Like, calling me anti-Semitic, calling me homophobic, calling me racist does nothing but make me feel good because I'm not those things. I'm not cool enough, right? Cool people are those things. I'm lame. So it's like, look, when you're saying that, you know, the world is messed up, well, who is the world and who's running these things? And I'm not going to go down too far down this, as we talk about on a lot of shows, but there are people who do control. And I think I was talking about Ari Shaffir was on a podcast recently talking about how these individuals retain control. And it's not just like this conspiracy, like, oh, and they have power. It's like, he's like saying, hey, look, to be a talent agent, it requires like 3 to 4 years of, you know, of basically blowing money, because you have to be a big dog, look like a big dog, but you don't have any money. So you've basically got to have someone to almost like daddy to pay your loans for you. So you got to have somebody giving you 500 grand a year, essentially for like 4 years. Now, they're not going to give you $2 million to establish yourself as a talent agent unless you are promising something back. And that is, of course, they get a say and control in what you do for a certain amount of time until you get the right amount of money. But then once you're in that money, they might compromise you. They try to get control of you. They put up the money. Now, who's putting up the $2 million to bring in new talent agents? Well, we all know who that is. Now, the crazy part is you go, well, then what does that mean? That's really smart. Because rather than controlling who wants to be famous, you control who you get to make famous or who you get to keep famous, right? And that's what we mean by control. It's not like conspiracy, like the Jews are in, they're creating tunnels under New York, which they were, but that's a whole nother story.
Well, you know,
I'm just saying, like, this is a system.
I don't want to interrupt you, but I am going to.
Go ahead.
I see your viewer base. They might, you know, have these same sentiments. I mean, just ask them how they feel about Cozy. I mean, I personally like the site. I think, you know, there's some good graphics on there that I enjoy looking at. Sometimes there's only one guy I really go on there for. His name starts with an N and it's not Negro. And so what I will say about the audience that shares these sentiments and they understand what's going on is sometimes they're almost too focused on the problems. They're focused on the issues. Who controls this? Who runs that? That people ignore the obvious solutions. What did Jesus tell his disciples? I forget which Bible verse, but he gave them some coins and said, occupy until I come. And some translations say, do business until I come. Right? In John, in the book of John, I think it's John 17 somewhere, Jesus tells Father God that I don't want you to take these people out of the world immediately, but that you will keep them safe in the world. The world, of course, is not Earth. I'll keep them on Earth. The world is, you know, it's Babylon. It's the system that is. And our job as Christians is to, well, do business, occupy the land until he comes. So we're not really solving the problem by just calling it out. What we need to do is create our own institutions, is take over these industries, occupy them, and lead righteously. That's how it works. So I think there is this overwhelming, you get this feeling like, oh man, we can't do anything. There's just too much control. But honestly, we have to desire to be in control, because if righteous people don't want to be in control of industries and institutions, then unrighteous people will take over. So it's great. It's important to talk about it, but the solution and what you're doing in your life every single day is probably more important than the underlying problem. So I think a lot of the people that consume that kind of content, they actually, like you might have said earlier, they just sit at home all day and they're on the internet retweeting tweets, which doesn't change anything. How are you as a person, if you're a parent in here, how are you raising your kids to become men of God who are going to have power and influence to do righteously? If you're a grandparent, what did you pass down to the generation after you that's going to lead them to, you know, control righteously? Like, what? So it's not just about the problem. Like, we can, you know, beat the problem, like beat that dead horse over and over again, but it's the solution. And I think if we have the power of Christ in us, the same power that resurrected him from the death in us right now, then we have to operate like we have that power. So let's talk about solutions, man. What do you think, young men, because I'm really traditional when it comes to, you know, men and women, what do you think young men need to be doing to dismantle this system that seems impossible to topple down?
Well, dude, look, this is not a preaching to people. This is from learning from my own experience. Is you have to realize the things that God says are wrong are hurting you if you practice them, whether or not you believe or feel like they are. And I mean, that's where faith comes in. If God says something is wrong in your own personal life, this is genuine what I'm saying, you've got to examine your life and the standard of which you're living and say, okay, like, and here's just a random example. I feel like I had been too loose with my speech, a little too crass, a little too smutty, even like a week before. And I had talked to someone, I'd be like, you know, I've been too crass, too smutty on the show. God says to let your speech be like seasoned with salt. We have to be careful with our words. We have to do these things. I'm like, I can still talk about the crazy things in the world, but not be so degenerate in the way that I refer to the things, the words that I use, etc. And someone's like, well, I don't really care. Like, you're in Australia, everyone cusses, everyone calls each other a cunt. Like, that's a term of endearment out here, right? Which I don't mind that word, but I go, yeah, but the Bible does say something about speech. And I'm looking at it, and if I really was honest, and this is what I mean about getting honest with my word choice and the way I'm talking about things, I'm not gonna back down from topics, not gonna stop talking about certain things, but the way I present it has been anti-biblical. So I need to work on that area. And the amount of areas in our life, and I'll just sum it up with this, that we could look at and compare to the scripture, compare to the Bible, and see it aren't in line, those things remove power because they make us rely on our own strength and our own mind and our own understanding. But when we lean not on our understanding, we acknowledge God in all of his ways. It says he will direct our path. And in a dark world where people say we need light, what does that mean to be a lamp into our feet and a light into our path? It means that we need the Spirit of God directing us, because it's a very confusing world and it's easy to not know what's happening, and none of us do. So in a scary world, you need God to direct your path, which means you got to cast all your cares and concerns to him, commit your thoughts. But in a practical sense, it means literally removing those things which are against the will of God, removing those things that are antithetical, not writing them off, making light, and learning to seek the presence of God and replace it with him. That's to me the best advice, because from that comes strength and peace that passes understanding. And that's what I'm learning right now. I'm becoming much more at peace and calm, and I'm not reacting. I'm acting from a place of confidence and security. So I don't know if you believe anything different, but that's just what I'm learning practically, like in advice, is mirroring your life to the word of God, seeing what is not congruent, giving it to God and replacing it with the power of God, the Spirit of God and the peace of God. And then it gives you a sense of direction, a sense of strength, and it gives you clarity on where to go next.
Hmm. No, you're completely right. And that's why I didn't follow Isabella De Luca, man. That girl will have you sinning in your mind, man. Jesus, what did Jesus say, man? If you even look at a woman and lust with her within your heart, look, come on, man. You can't even help it. It just pops up on your feet. But so you're completely right that emulating or trying our best to follow Christ's instruction is the way to go. Now, what about as a movement? Because on an individual level, it's important to follow Christ to the best of your ability. What about on a movement level? How do we move as an ecclesia, the body of Christ, to, you know, dismantle the machine of the porn industry, dismantle the way the entertainment industry is going, and all of these things? How do we occupy those fields?
I would love to hear your perspective. I mean, I want to hear from you. You're my guest. I want to know what you think.
Oh, I'm out here interviewing you.
Yeah, you're my guest. I would genuinely like to hear, because you have a fresh mind, and I don't know really any Christians out here. So it's good, you know, and our churches are really weird out here in Australia, by the way. Very weird. So I went to a church on Sunday, and the pastor was dressed up as a cat. Turned out it was a woman pastor, and it was really weird service. And
Jesus might. Confused. Jesus might. Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, I don't think I want to come back here. But yeah, go ahead and tell me the ecclesia. What's your advice or understanding?
So I talked to a gentleman by the name of Nate Fisher. He's the founder of a venture capitalist company called New Founding. And Nate's a guy doing really well. A lot of my friends do really well. In terms of money. And, you know, I try to get their perspective on what they believe God has put them in their positions to do. And their ideas are always nuanced. So first of all, I think the church is just poor for no reason. We have a lot of Bible verses that say it's harder for a rich man to get into the kingdom of heaven than for a needle to go, or was it a camel to go through a needle? Yeah.
The eye of a needle. Yeah.
Eye of a needle. Yeah. So, you know, Christendom looks at wealth. They look at influence and they shun it, which is really weird because some of the most prominent biblical figures were men of high stature and had a lot of financial capacity. So it's weird. It's almost like a psyop against the church. We should all sit here, just let the world become this oppressive empire of evil, while we just wait for Jesus to come back. Whereas that conflicts with Jesus' instruction to occupy till he comes. So I think we need to encourage young men, young conservative men, to find the thing that God has put on their heart. Some of them are going to want to be pastors. Some of them are going to want to be engineers. But the ones that are entrepreneurial by heart and by nature, push them to solve problems. Push them to find and identify the problem, then solve it. Create solutions that can topple these empires, these institutions, because this is a problem that's not going away. And I am not a fan of the general conservative advice to young men, which is get married young, out of high school, and move to a farm and have a bunch of babies. While that sounds great, and I'm sure someone out there wants that, that's not a message to give to people that need to take over institutions that are promoting evil. Let's say you do go on a farm, have a bunch of kids. Your kids are going to be commingling with other kids that have chopped their balls off 50 times. That's a very important thing to know. And that's because you ignored your responsibility to your community and to your family by just, I'm going to just stay in the woods. So I think we need to encourage conservative young men to strive to find problems to solve. And we got to find biblical problems, you know, the porn industry. I want to see entrepreneurs create software to make, I don't know, stopping that better somehow. I don't know. Just solve the problem somehow. And guess what? When you're working under God's divine mantle, your life's great. You're at peace. It doesn't matter if you fail. You know you're working not for yourself or to fill your pockets, but for the kingdom purpose that's in your heart. So that's a very crucial message that I push out. And I know people in my audience just get tired. George, man, my grandbabies already want to do that. I already told them everything. And I'm like, no, tell them again. Tell them that they don't have to go to college and get themselves indoctrinated to become demons, but they can find something that's wrong with society and fix it. So that's one thing I'd say. And then politically speaking, we need to change the narrative on how politicians become politicians. We need to stop just accepting a guy that's obviously going to screw us over, but we need to stop letting the political class, the strategist class, tell us we got to elect this guy because he's electable and this other guy's not electable. We got to stop. Tim Sheehy, that guy's clearly going to screw us when it matters. He's a Mitch McConnell plant, yet people in Montana are like, well, but, you know, our state might be blue, so we got to vote. See, that guy is going to screw you when it matters. You take a risk and you go with Matt Rosendale, someone that stands on his principle and has demonstrated that behavior in many instances.
Yeah, but our friends, so three things on that. First of all, that was really incredible. Being autistic, people have accused me of, like, I don't respond to my guests over the years. And I just
wait, you're the subject. What do you mean you're autistic? Is that a joke?
No. Like, I have, like, diagnosed, like, pretty severe autism. And it's like, I literally can't read social cues and, like, things that have, like, dude, I used to not be able to speak, man. I was like, till I was like four, my tongue was out of my mouth. I didn't chew food. And I had to go to, like, speech therapy for, like, all my childhood just to learn how to speak with my tongue not hanging out. I'm, like, kind of retarded, actually. I'm, like, genuinely, like, I qualify for disability. Like, that's how retarded I am. I'm not joking. But I don't take it. But I had to go to speech school and training. When I used to have to speak in front of people, I had such bad social issues, I would throw up on myself.
Well, and isn't that crazy? I don't want to interrupt you, but yeah, no worries. It's how God operates. I mean, you have your platform. And I know you mentioned, you know, sometimes you weren't really upholding your tongue, making sure it was pure, which is hard to do, but your platform still promotes God. You talk about God. You talk about things from a biblical perspective. So God took someone who literally could not speak, a retard, and turned him into an intelligent guy who's slightly racist, but it's okay because he's sexist too, so it kind of evens out. Go ahead.
Sorry. And misogynistic. Well, all I was going to say is that's why people think that I'm being crass or I'm being smutty or rude. I just have an inability to not be real. Like, it's like I can't actually, like, that that mask that people have where they can, like, kind of put on an image because they care about what people think. Like, I actually, it's not even like, oh, I don't care what people think about me. Like, I've never thought about what people think about me, and I don't ever process that. So that's a good and a bad thing. It's bad because it makes it really hard in work and at making people mad because I'm really honest with them about, like, their performance and how we work together. And everyone's really fake, and then they tell you be fake, and I have an inability to process fake, but I can see through it. That's what's really good about it. I can tell when people are bullshit. And so I can tell when someone's bullshitting me very, very quickly. However, on the flip side, all I wanted to say with that was, like, all that being said and done is I see the reality of how God can transform and can change people. But I also see the side of evangelism where, like, this is, I shouldn't say this to the audience, but it's like, I kind of see about crimes for Jesus. Like, you know, people do DDoS attacks and stuff on the government, you know, software or evil governments, right? The US will, like, do an infrastructure attack on North Korea or whatever to foil their nuclear program. It's like, dude, my thing in the world is with Christians are in this place, like you said, where they're, like, kind of playing by this game that makes them lose, which is why I'm not conservative. Like, I tell people, I got married younger than I should have. I should have waited till now. I'd rather get married now. I'm 30. I'm starting to feel like I should have gotten married now. I already have a kid. And it's like, as a man, women, I would say, could get married young. You can get married a woman when she's like 19, 20 years old very easily. If we were training women to be wives. But as a man, go get your house in order. Go go get mature. I'm not talking about go be 32 and go sleep around and go sit. I'm talking about go get a life experience, like not slut experience, life experience. Go get a job, start a career, work in the real world, work with snakes and bad people. Make some mistakes, but I'm literally calling them mistakes. Find out what your character is. Let God test your character and go see what your character is. Go get accountability. Go get spiritually mature. So I think the red pill movement's like, go have sex with sluts so that you know what it's like to get married. That's not what I'm saying. If you can keep your sexual purity, you should. But what I am saying is if you're not going to, or you're going to make those mistakes, learn some things the hard way as a man. But before you're married, gain the knowledge, get the maturity. Because believe me, if you're weak single, you're going to be weaker married. But if you're a strong single, it's going to test the strength of who you are. And you're going to need God. You're going to see that your strength alone is not enough to carry a marriage and a relationship. Because one thing I don't like about marriage, and I say this openly, these guys that are worth like tens of millions of dollars that have like pretty much delegated their lives to other people are telling you to get married young and stuff. I know how much these guys make, by the way. They're extremely rich. They're richer than you would think they are. But they're out there. And all I was going to say with this is the most honest advice I've ever seen was from a sports broadcaster on marriage, where he said, marriage is really good, but it's only good if you can give it your focus and attention. And if you're giving a lot of focus and attention to your own growth. And even when it's good, it requires a ton of focus, a ton of attention, and a ton of time. So you need to make sure that you're in a position to give that focus, attention, and time, and also realizing that, like, just because marriage is good doesn't mean that it's easy, and it doesn't mean that it's not extremely resource dependent. So sometimes you should go out and go start your business, create your company, get things moving, go live on your friend's couch, go risk being poor and in poverty, do all that stuff when you might be skipping meals every day, but you're not requiring your wife and your kid to skip meals every day.
Man, we agree. Oh, geez. This is so important for people to hear. Because, I mean, Jesus Christ, it took him 30 plus years of living a normal life before he finally decided, all right, cool, I'm done being a carpenter. I need to go save some people or something, you know? And that's important. It takes time. And guess what? Marriage is about serving as a man. Well, as a woman, too. You're serving in different ways. If you're not even ready to serve your family, then what are you putting them through that for? Well, what are you doing? Serve, you know, with what you have to have the ability to serve, one, like actually provide for your family. You know, there's dudes that I know that are married 20 and I'm like, all right, great. But statistically speaking, you're going to start arguing about money very soon. She's going to be really angry at you that you're not making enough. And she might act like it's cool for the time being, but after maybe 10 years, you have a bunch of kids together, she's going to start looking down on you like, man, I pay half the bills, you know, and you're not going to be in control of your house. Jesus Christ took 30 years as a carpenter in practice before he started building his church. So you could probably take the same amount of time building your character and testing it and making sure you are the man you say you are or think you are, because you never know. And then you're ready to serve others. You have to be ready, right?
Yeah. Somebody also, by the way, I was laughing that they had sent in a super chat or a chat saying that I'm like a gay Moses. Thank you so much with the lispy accent. Thank you very much. It's called Los Angeles, by the way. I do appreciate you have that perspective at 22. And I would also say to everybody that's watching this, there's not a lot of good advice on the internet, which is ironic I'm saying this, so which is why it's so crucial that you are just all the only good advice that someone can really give you is being very close to God and working on that relationship, because everybody has some good advice, but it's not ultimately the way. And they'll bully you into a lifestyle that, quite frankly, you don't know people's background. Sometimes the people that look the best in media, and I know this from working in it, the people that look the best in media often are the worst people, and they have the most secrets. And the people that are often like blasted the most in publicly or slandered are oftentimes better people. And either A, it's true or it's not true, or they just have made enemies because they either say the truth. Trump's a good example. He's not a perfect moral guy, But I'm actually shocked that he's as clean as he is in the background. Like, I'm genuinely shocked.
Yeah, I mean, money, they resources. Went through this guy's entire life. They went through his wife's panty closet, and they didn't literally find anything. They
that, did that's, not. That's shocking. Like, yeah. Like, that's what I'm saying. It's like, so, you know, you can look at, we know everything about Trump. So everyone's got bad shit they've said or done or mistakes they've made. And some of these guys, you know, they'll get slandered or whatever. Luckily for me, you know, most of the things people have ever come after me in my life have just been bullshit, and that's fine. But, and it doesn't go anywhere, but that's why I want to tell people about fear. And I'll end with this with you, 'cause I know you got to go. We'll have one more segment after you leave, but don't let fear stop you. Just assume it's going to be more difficult than whatever you're imagining. So whatever you think could happen, just think 500% worse, but then you're going, that doesn't seem positive. But also remember that if you're walking with God, then it's not scary, but it's intense, but it's not scary. Like, people have looked at things I've went through in my own life, things that have happened with friends, different things, people that have tried to destroy my life. They go, wow, I'd be so afraid if that ever happened to me. And I go, well, yeah, I would have been scared too if I didn't have the peace of Christ, I didn't have the support of my family, and I didn't have a good home life. And I've worked on building what's important so that when distractions come from the outside, I can kind of weather the storm. And that's what the Bible says about building your house on a rock, is you've got to build your house on a rock because storms will come. It's sort of a guarantee. Death and taxes, they always say we're guaranteed, but so are storms. Storms will come. And the only difference between you and people in the world is where you build your house. And I have people who've attacked me who are basically don't even do anything now. Their life's been destroyed on other reasons because they got 1% of the pushback I have publicly about things, and they crumbled. And you go, that's crazy, man. They probably would have committed suicide if they went through some of the things I went through. And I'm not saying that I'm strong. I'm saying my foundation is in God. And that's been really nice to know that it's not me, it's the Lord. So keep your foundation where it's strong, and you will weather what comes your way. And yeah, I don't wish it upon anyone. It's not fun to go through tough things, but you don't have to go through them and end up bitter, depressed, or killing yourself. You can end up stronger, more blessed, and with wisdom that you can pass on to people because you've gone through it. So Behizzy, I'll give you the last word here, and then make sure that you tell people where they can find you and they can follow you. And then we'll say our sayonara and we'll keep going on the live stream.
Yeah. Well, I think I completely agree with you that you need to build your foundation in truth, in righteousness, and have a Mexican build the house. Cause you know, the foundation, you know, you gotta get a white guy to build the foundation. And then the Mexicans can build the roof or something. But yeah, it's really important stuff. But yeah, I can be found on Rumble. That's Behizzy, rumble.com/Behizzy. And on X, Behizzy Tweets. I appreciate you for having me on. And it's funny how crazy. Do you usually do this? You went from topic to topic. You had Cake Girl in the title. Someone's clicking on the stream right now going, where's my Cake Girl, man?
This is actually how the streams are. Every single, we go through a lot of topics, and we always try, and we always have some sort of like controversial or spiritual conversation somewhere in the middle, and then get back to topics. That's usually what it is.
Right. All right. Have a good one, man.
All right, Behizzy. Thank you so much, man. Make sure you follow him. Links in the description. He's right there on that side. Support him directly on X and on Rumble. Man, you're way cooler than I knew you would be because I didn't know much about you.
I don't think they were confused which one of us was me. I mean, I don't think they were like, wait, is it really the Asian guy next to him? Or yeah.
I just like the fact that the chat is so intense. Someone even wrote, they were like, I come here for the chat and the show's okay too, as a joke, but honest. The chat is really good, but honestly, I got to say this. I have learned, that's why some of these kick streamers, you know, they do this thing called falling off, where they'll have like 10,000 live streamers a night, and then all of a sudden they don't exist 6 months from now. We're going 6 years strong of like a core audience, and we've been canceled everywhere. They've destroyed so many platforms, and we just keep going because of the people who watch. So don't forget, man, my only advice always to people who are on the show is, never take for granted the amazing people who follow you, support your work, and quality is better than quantity, especially when it comes to the long game. So, man,
well, you know, for coming on. I have to say, though, I initially came in thinking, I'm going to rob this guy. But you're all right, man. I won't rob you. I only commit crimes against other black people. All right, bye.
All right, see you later, brother. Behizzy, thanks so much for coming on. Thanks so much for coming on. I think we can... All right, if you're watching on YouTube, we're going to take a 2.5-minute break. We'll see you over at rumble.com/slightlyoffensive. You can go to my screen here, Brian. Check it out. We're in the chat. We are right now on Rumble and on censored.tv. If you want to support this show, remember, we are demonetized everywhere. And you keep hearing, how do I support it? Join the censored community at censored.tv, promo code offensive. You can also join the exclusive live chat, which we'll be going over super chats and stuff later at elijahschafer.locals.com. If you're watching on X or you're watching on YouTube, we did a little bit longer on there just to give some limelight. Know that some things are changing, but in a positive way. I have made some connections and some things, and I'm going to be making some new types of content that are going to be focused on social media content. I will keep doing these streams and stuff, but I'm kind of going to be shifting as we get into the election into some... just newer ways to get out there and get viral stories going and stuff. And God's really opening up doors. So be patient with some adjustments and know that I run this studio by myself in here. So there's, it's just like, look, I think I could probably switch my camera I have other studios in the studio. Like there's another studio, right? There's our Ben sets. We have a lot of stuff going on here. Help me get back to this. How do I get back? Is that this? There you go. All right. And we have other sets too, but we'll check it out. Anyway, I'll see you guys over at rumble.com/slightlyoffensive. Let's take a 2.5-minute pause here. Everyone go pee. Stop jerking off if you are, whatever you're doing, and repent. And I'll see you over at Rumble. We're going to talk about the Rob Smith saga. It's really interesting. As you know, Rob Smith is my favorite online creator. And even though Behizzy says that nobody cares about it, I do. And so we're going to get into a very Elijah Schaefer-y segment and start the shit stream over at Rumble. We'll see you there. All right, we're back. What's up, guys? Good to see you all. We're here live on censored.tv, as well as... I should have just switched spots. That would have been a lot funnier if I switched spots for the rest of the show. I mentioned you guys here because I have this new segment for the Gateway Pundit coming out. Things are just going really well over there. It's really nice. As a lot of you guys had known, it's kind of complicated because Slightly Offensive used to be like a show, and then YouTube just kind of ruined our channel. There's no other way to put it. They just did it like four times. And I'm not going to be surprised if they just delete the whole channel like soon. So we're trying to rebuild here, but then we even run into roadblocks on Rumble. We were working on a deal and then they just stopped talking to me. Like I literally just got ghosted one day. So I don't know who's at Rumble that just ghosted us, but I've spoken to the CEO and everything, and then we just get ghosted. They're like, yeah, we'll work out a deal with you. And then it's silence. And really, Rumble doesn't have good algorithms. So it's really hard to get videos trending or getting discovered. But I am really happy with where we're at on Rumble. And I'm really happy to have you guys as a community. But I feel like that's what it is. It's we get a lot of roadblocks. We get demonetized everywhere. We get messed up. People badmouth us. But we don't go away. And I don't think we're going to go anywhere anytime soon. So I'm really happy about that. And that's what's really good. Now, the nice thing is the amount of good opportunities that I have back in the USA. I'm not going to say anything else beyond that, but things are just going to be really good, I think, in the coming years for the show, for this brand, for the team. There's no lack of opportunity. And so, but I will say for the future and going forward, I've tried working on it before, but I think the key thing is that I have to be very cautious with smutty language. You know what I mean? Just not being smutty. A few curse words here and there may occur. Forewarning, the show's not for children. But I will say that. Also, they gave me this jacked up haircut. I already have a really bad natural hairline, right? It's pretty horrible. It's pretty bad. But they gave me this I got this the worst haircut ever. I've been it's really rough. It's a crown or something. I don't know what they did to the hair. It's lopsided. And the British and the Australians just do the worst haircuts. I had to fix it. So I fixed the hair and it was just bad. It was bad for a couple of days. I don't know if you saw a couple of days there. Yeah, Rumble doesn't push Salty Crowder or Elijah. And that's petty. Yeah, it is true. It is petty. And they won't put us on the front page anymore either. They did one time. See, they promoted us one time and we got 100,000 views on a video. But then they haven't promoted us since. So I don't know what it is. I just don't know what it is. I really like Rumble, but they always, I got talking with Rumble again, by the way. We got in talks again. And they were like, cool, we'll actually get into an ad deal with you and then we'll push your content, actually. We'll promote it better. And then they ghosted me again. So I hope we can figure it out because it's kind of frustrating. But things are working out in other places, so I'm not upset. I'm not going hungry. And I'll be able to pay Brian $11 this month. So shout out, Brian. You're going to get $11. I'll give you a raise to $11.25 for the month. So everyone give a shout out in the chat for Brian, who's directing the show today, technical director, making it work. And sorry to be hizzy for overriding Brian and making it bad. All right. We've got to talk about this. You guys may think this is completely irrelevant. This is the part of the show where we go into an end of the show segment that has no relevance to any of your lives, but we're going to talk about this. We're going to talk about the Rob Smith saga. Rob Smith, if you know about this, he's a extremely... go to my screen here, Brian. Rob Smith here is a very talented content creator. He has a new show at youtube.com/can'tcancelrobsmith. And people apparently canceled him, or so they thought. And this is one of the most interesting stories. He's a political mulatto, loved by some, hated by some, watched and discussed by all. I don't think anymore that it's very productive to talk about who hates you. Kind of like people who say, like, I'm blocked by Trump. Dude, a lot of people hate me. Some for good reasons, some for bad reasons, but I don't really care. I focus on the people that like what I do. You could take that off. So Rob Smith was, I've worked with him before. We've been around each other many times. I've spoken to him. He was in 2019 a huge player in the Groiper Wars, where John Riley, I think that's his name, David Riley, sorry. Oh, I know David too. I'm so sorry. David Riley, this was during the Groiper Wars, had a famous interaction with Rob Smith and Charlie Kirk. If you don't remember this, this is from Turning Point USA's live stream, I'm pretty sure. Remember this?
Somebody outside a protester was asking about the term culture war. It's got a long history, started late 1800s, Otto von Bismarck, Kulturkampf. In the late 1990s, mid-1990s, it was reclaimed by conservatives, one of those being E. Michael Jones, who actually started this magazine, Culture Wars Magazine, and because of his fantastic work, we now understand... Thank you. Give it up. Because of E. Michael Jones' groundbreaking work, we now understand that sexual liberation is political control. It's a form of political control. And you have multiple times advocated on behalf of accepting homosexuality, accepting homosexual acts as normative in the conservative movement. How does anal sex help us win the culture war?
I'm going to let the gay man answer.
Wait a minute. So can I ask you a question? Can you have the balls to ask the gay man on the stage that question and don't defer to him? Ask me that question. I will answer you that question. I'm going to ask you. You already asked the question, so I'm going to answer that question. This is America. This is the greatest freaking nation in the world. We realize that America is great because we have...
All right, let's pause it there before we finish it. Okay, so a breakdown of what's happening. This was very interesting time in the show's history. A little lore if you're new to the show. During this time, I worked for the third largest conservative network. At that time, it was bigger than the Daily Wire. So it was the second largest conservative network in the country behind Fox News. And I knew these people. I worked with Turning Point. I spoke at this tour. During the culture war, I was speaking at Turning Point events. Like, I was a Turning Point speaker, which is weird to think, right? And I went on tour, meaning like I spoke at like maybe a dozen or more colleges. I don't know if in the chat, if you guys remember that, but I actually was a speaker and I spoke at a lot of schools around the country and toured around the country. So I was a part of this on this side of things, right? On the culture war Turning Point side. And I really never thought about the place of gay people in the conservative movement because I was sort of in this MAGA understanding of the country. Like, we wanted to include as many people as possible. And I thought that Trump won the election because of the amount of people that we included into the election, okay? And so then Then what happened is that I was like, okay, this is pretty interesting because anal sex is not a conservative value. And I was asked this question during the time that this was asked. I was asked the same question. Maybe they thought I was gay or something. That's probably what it was. I was asked by some groypers, how is anal sex a conservative value? And you can watch videos of it. I responded really simply, oh, it's not. The right wing is not just conservatives. The right wing is a larger movement of the Republican Party, which includes people who were once center left, and that the goalposts were moved so far to the left that a lot of people who were once voting Democrat and progressive that are moderates are now voting Republican and right wing, and we've included them in the party. And so anal sex is by no means conservative. It's not a value. It's still degenerate, but we include a lot of people who feel like they've been politically isolated, alienated, and are now a part of a greater movement that is a-religious. And I think that that's a pretty good response, you know? Just like, so it didn't go viral. My responses didn't go viral because that's like a good answer, right? Like, I think that's pretty good. Like, oh, no, I don't. I just think that the right-wing movement, in summary, was at this time, my thought was like, oh, it's larger than conservatism, right? It's a secular movement. I'm not saying I agree that that was a good choice, but that's accurate. That's what it was at the time. So that's how you should answer this question. That's it. Just like, hey, this movement is pretty secular. And there are more than, it's not a real conservative movement. Do you guys know that's not a conservative movement? But I thought conservatism was something different. I had a video out called What is Conservatism, which was extremely embarrassing watching today. But it's not inaccurate because it is what conservatism is today, but not what it should be or what it was meant to be or what it genuinely is, right? Authentic versus reality, authentication versus reality sometimes is a difference. Let's see what he said, though. What was his answer?
Have Western values. We realize that, no, let me finish, dude. We realize that gays and lesbians are able to contribute to American society in the same way that everybody else is. And let me tell you, when you continue doing that, okay, you realize that we are here. We are able to do everything. And let me tell you something as well. I'm not here to tell anybody what to think or what to believe, but for me, somebody like that doesn't really have any place in the conservative movement because it's something that is so, so behind the times. And you can boo and you can do whatever you want to, baby, because I'm going to be me and I'm still here.
Next question.
That was such a gay answer, though. And I don't even mean that rude to Rob. That was just gay. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just going to be me, honey. And was like, I'm going to be here. And so his first part of the answer was fine, right? We realized that gay people can contribute to the political spectrum, which is not an untrue statement. They do, and they can. But I think the question was, is it a conservative value or how is it conservative, which he deflected and didn't answer. He should have said, it's not a conservative value. And it's not a value at all, actually. It's just a degenerate form of sexual intercourse. But, and that would have been fine, right? That would have been a fine answer to be fair to Rob if he just said, yeah, and the right-wing movement is bigger than conservatism. I'm not saying it's true, just that he could have said that. But then he was like, then he took shots at the Catholic and was like, oh, I think your ideas are behind the times. So this is the famous culture wars that happened. This is like a little bit of lore, right? That went on in the back end. Now, going forward on this, Rob Smith claimed last year that he was involved in a hate crime. If you remember this took place here, December 18th, 2023. Rob Smith claimed, can I make this? I think I'll make this bigger here. Let's make this bigger. Let's go. Okay, there you go. Rob Smith claimed, last night in Phoenix, I was confronted and surrounded by some white supremacists. Why it's capitalized? I don't know. that don't like gays or blacks.
They don't like gays or blacks.
In the Republican Party. They shouted the N-word and the F-word at me to make their point. However, I served in Iraq.
What?
And I never backed down. Ever. Ever, 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 ever. And okay, hey, thank you for serving, man. And I'm not even attacking Rob in this segment. I think Rob is my favorite creator possibly in the whole world. He might be my favorite. You know why? He likes ceviche. Who doesn't like ceviche? Ceviche is delicious, especially in the summer sun. So this is the hate crime in question. He posted it. 5.9 million views. This is the lore. By the way, this is, again, I want to repeat, this is a completely unnecessary segment that is wasting your time, but I find it to be so fascinating. So here's the hate crime. Let's watch it. Okay, so let's break this down here, retardedly. So number one, from people that were there, they did clearly call him a faggot, right? You did hear that. But this reminds me of the recent non-binary accusation that libs of TikTok caused a non-binary murder of Nex. Remember that? So, like, before they called him a faggot in unison, he said Nick Fuentes loves gay sex. So he kind of agitated them. Now, I think it was an account called Valley Zoomer that has confronted Sebastian Gorka, Rob Smith, many of the most influential and non-grifters in the movement that clearly really care about America and Ukraine and homosexuality, the three values that are the most endearing to our hearts. So they did call him a faggot. Now, these are called mean words. Dude, the FBI got involved in the recent, I got doxxed by the black community because of like actually very credible and serious death threats, which one of PragerU's ambassadors described as me crying online. I think that the false accusations thrown at me and criminal accusations and criminal death threats and memeing my dead mom are behaviors of an animalistic nature. And, you know, I never cried about it. I just think illegal activity or making illegal claims is illegal. That's all I think it is. And I think people should have a chance to recant what they do. But I think that, you know, we don't really have our best currently out on display. We have some of our worst. And people say, well, who are you? Well, I'm not just a streamer. I've put my life literally on the line to try to expose narratives and show what's going on. You can even go look it up. I literally have been in very, very dangerous situations. I've seen many people die, several people die in doing my work for the country. So I actually do care. And I've been right on pretty much every single topic in terms of like critical, you know, race that's been going on, racial division, racial statistics, the scamdemic, the vaccines. We haven't missed the election, the rigging, and we've never backed down. Have we been rewarded for it? No, I've mostly lost my connections and friends in the process of staying true. And we've also been right about Israel in October 7th and the entire war and Ukraine war. But that's why we're not going away, because you guys know the credible background. I will say that being said, is that that's not a hate crime. If you're an asshole to people publicly and you say that their favorite commentator likes gay sex when they're Catholic, that's deeply offensive to say that somebody who is claiming morality likes gay sex. Even if somebody did have gay sex or something, to say that they liked it or supported it or something, that's a big claim. And that is a moral claim that people need to realize comes with repercussions. And they call them a faggot, but I didn't hear them say the gamer word. Well, Remember when Rob Smith then went on CNN to complain about it? This is here is a clip. He went on CNN to talk about his experience at a Republican event.
This hate crime was very real. They did say the N-word. Absolutely. That was not caught on video, but that did happen. But I am looking in the eyes of people that were actual neo-Nazis and actual white supremacists. There were about 20 to 25 of these people, and that is what you do not see on camera. We all saw me face them from face to face. I'm looking at soulless, dead-eyed white supremacists that, by the way, I felt that these people could have bashed my brains in had they gotten the chance.
So they called you the N-word, not on camera. They came out as literal white supremacists and Nazis, not on camera. And then you felt like they would bash your head in. This would not only not stand in court, but it wouldn't even stand in the drama. Although I will say this, and I would like to make a claim. Gay people love drama, and so do black people. And so gay black people probably love drama too. There's not any crime to love drama. It's just some communities like it more than others. So do young girls, right? So do 12-year-old white girls love drama too. I don't like it, so I just stay out of it, right? We don't even cover personal drama here or get into that, you know. We didn't even get into that, what's that one chick? I don't even remember her name, the human trafficking person. We don't even just get into that stuff. I don't even pile on. But it's very interesting. Now, to kind of sum it up, Rob Smith came out with a bunch of rants. Now he's been gone for 4 months off the internet. And he ended up basically getting, he's been going off. I don't even know. Oh, there's beef going on right now. Check this out. Like between BDMI, BDM2, a philosophy writer, and he said, most to every former black conservative on this app that once was heavy within the Republican ranks transitions back to being openly pro-black, or in this case, gay, when they realize the front running of their identity cannot fit while taking money to be a psychophant. Apparently, they're saying, the sad thing is about the black conservative movement is that it is filled with jealous people who never reach a certain place and will always resent those who have. I am still more famous and successful than you will ever be. Cope and see it. This is very gay. Who cares? Like, who cares? I don't know. Does any of this matter? I'm not looking for this. I made good money and I continue to make good money because I'm very good at making money, but I never did or said any of these things I did or said for money. This is like, I notice in the black community, there's a lot of proof to not be in poverty. I like to tell people that I'm in poverty because I think it's funnier. So you guys know I'm in poverty. Not that poverty is funny, but I guess he's beefing with everybody. Dude, that's crazy. So he's got his new show out. He's going down here. He's still going off. More like surrounded by 40 white supremacists who called me a faggot and N-word and then marched around carrying an American flag and dressed like Hitler Youth. Some people say when I shave my mustache, I look like Hitler Youth. Please don't name and shame. Cassandra McDonald from TimCast literally said, this guy has been seething for months because some rando was mean to him at a party. That's my point about this. Look, even if people did call you the N-word, like people were trying to raise money internationally to murder my family last week. And the most I did was like take a day off of streaming because law enforcement asked me to like diminish my online presence on X and to not go live to not encourage any more criminal threats. Okay. So I like took a little break and went to the family farm, which I was already there and couldn't stream. There was no internet. So I didn't even have a choice. Like I didn't even have a choice not to stream. The internet did literally, it was 1.2 megabits per second. I couldn't get upload speeds at their satellite internet down there. I couldn't even stream if I wanted to, and I didn't want to make the 2-hour drive to stream. And then the law enforcement already advised me not to. So I just said, okay, it's better not to. And then I was just back the next week. I've had people come out with insane accusations against me. People, you know, start drama about me and I'm streaming the next day. Like I don't even care. Even if people are mean to you or lie about you or slander you, just do your job, you know? Like you don't make a big deal about it. Like it's not that big of a deal. Just go on. So, I mean, I feel bad for Rob because He's like, you know, and then he's like making these, I don't know what he's doing, but like, go to my screen here. Then he's on the screen saying, I'm so glad I was never so lame as to be photographed or even put in that effing hat. I guess we're talking about the MAGA hat. Who knows? And then Chuck Celeste is like, this you? Well, you let a small group of idiots that don't stand for the values of this movement run you off. This is what happens when emotion takes over. Look, Rob Smith, it was a Trump supporter, and he built his whole brand off of it. And like, I just don't know what's happening here. Do we have, let me see this. Let me see if I can go to this. Let's take that off the screen real quick, Brian. Like, he was big Trump supporter, okay? To remind you who he was, like, I know him. I just don't know what's happening here. I don't get what this meltdown's about publicly. And I would never share private information about Rob or anybody because I don't do that. Even when they do it to me, I just don't do it, okay? I'll never do it because I think it's wrong. I think it's immoral to do that stuff. I think it's immoral to throw stones at people like that. But look, he was a big MAGA guy. Here's his MAGA rap. He's a talented guy too. Here's his rap.
Look, I'm just the MAGA boy. I may be gay, but let's be clear, I'm not your faggot boy. Look, I'm just trying to get your mind right. Student loans, bad debt, the rest, that's why your pocket's tight. Government loans for crap degrees. Then you graduate, you ain't out here making any cheese. Illegal immigration tearing up your hood, but you let these politicians tell you that's what's really good? Look, y'all know I'm just the MAGA boy. I'm vote for Donald Trump, but I ain't gonna be no chump. Look, I'm good in any White House. Check my record, I ain't out here just chasing clout.
Okay, I'll leave that on. You could bring me up on the screen with it, though, Brian, while it's playing in the background. So, yeah, he said he was a MAGA boy. And I also would like to say, from somebody who has a quite strange Valley Girl accent slash Canadian accent mixed together, it is MAGA, not MAGA. MAGA. I don't know why people say MAGA, but I just feel bad for him because, look, I could be rude to Rob because he was he piled on me publicly when everyone was piling on me. He bought into the hype and talked shit on me publicly, which I've never done about him. I'm not even doing it now, right? So I know that you know, a lot of these people have been very cruel to me publicly, very rude, very ruthless, and very and believing things and saying things that I think are very hurtful. And you don't see me crying on CNN. And we're still here, bitches. We're still here. We're not going anywhere. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not gonna you know, give up on anything. So I don't know what this meltdown was. You can take that off. Okay, so I don't know what this meltdown was about, but it's just so weird. I had to talk about it because it was just so bizarre. It was just so weird. And he has a new show out. So we'll play the clip here. So this is the conclusion. He says, the neo-Nazis wanted me out of the Republican Party. Guess what? I'm gone. Being independent of the BS feels so good. My voice, real talk, no BS. 3/18/24, 10 a.m. Take it off the screen real fast, Brian. I got to go to my private messages real fast because I want to watch the edit that... that I sent to Mike here in the chat. So it's going to take me a second to find. So we're going to watch the clip of his opening show. Let me see if I can find it up here. It's got to be, let's see if we can find it. Oh, is it not in here? Let me see. It might be, let me see. Oh yeah, Chief Trumpster, I think, put it up. So let's see if it's up real fast. Let me find him. Let me go down here. Okay, here it is. All right. Yeah, Chief Trumpster put this clip up on the internet. And here's the clip of Rob Smith's new show. Let's watch it.
So the neo-Nazis and the white supremacists wanted me out of the Republican Party. And guess what? I'm out.
Okay. Ah, it's so funny. I find that to be quite hilarious. This is the show that you get, right? We talk about stories that matter and stories that don't. And we have real conversations. And we keep it real. And we'll always keep it real. Always keep it real with you guys, 110%. Shout out to the 1,300 people watching live here on Rumble and those that are uncensored. I'm going to go ahead and wrap up the show. I got to go work on my Gateway Pundit videos. But I really appreciate you guys watching and supporting. Thanks again to those of you guys that support directly at censored.tv, promo code offensive. You get 20% off a membership. As I always mention, you get this show and so much more. Brian, if you go to my screen here, you can check it out directly on the screen. Here's what it is. You get Censored TV. You get these shows uploaded with the ads cut out. Brian takes time to cut out the ads so you can watch them censorship free. Plus, you get a full length exclusive show on Thursday. So if you enjoy the show and you're looking for an extra show to watch on Thursday nights, it's there. You can see all our shows basically uploaded here in the corner. Plus, you get Josh LaCash, Atheism is Unstoppable, Jim Goad, all really good people if you're not familiar with them. Plus a bunch of old content that you can get directly at censored.tv. Shout out to everyone in the locals chat as well. I'll go ahead and read the super chats and or the I went really long today. Sorry, Brian. Let me read the chats here. Noticer IM said, wasn't prepared to see Black Pepe the Frog on, but 2024 keeps on giving. Christ is King. Thank you, Noticer IM. Noticer IM also sent a link to Twitter and said, it's safe, I promise. It's Candace Owens talking about the Holocaust with a tiny hat, 10-second clip. I don't think I'm going to play it on the show, but I will watch it. Thank you for doing that. I will. Debsub sent $2 and said, good. God took a retard and turned him into a racist and sexist. That's just such a good moment, right? God took a retarded person and turned him into a slightly racist, sexist, homophobe. What a God-blessing America thing there. Alex Lindquist is in the chat. Just get out of here, Alex. Can we reignite hatred for Alex Lindquist? Just group hatred? We should lynch Alex Lindquist. Let's call for the lynching of Alex. It's the total joke, by the way. I'm talking about it's a group chat lynching. I'm totally joking. Alex Lindquist is actually an old time guy. He's been around forever. We love Alex. But everyone's like, you're racist. We're not lynching anyone. Just Alex. Nah, just kidding. There's no lynchings happening here. Bad joke. Not saying that. Debstep also said, how is a black man worse than Vivek at rapping? That's true. I don't know. Also, do we have any chats here? Any super chats here? We have a $1. Dude, we've got to get more Rumble rants. Can I ask you a question, chat? Some people will live their entire life off of like Rumble rants, including like Nick Fuentes or like a bunch of streamers will literally make like $50,000 a month off of like super chats. Tim Pool. Okay, I know we're demonetized on YouTube, but it's not that I really want to take your money or anything like that. I would just love to like not put advertisements in the show or like figure out another way to fund the live stream. Cause I can always take jobs, right? I'm always getting offers from news agencies and networks to like create content for them or the GOP. So I can make money in like other ways. I don't have to really do this live show. I really could just stop it today and go do something else. But I really like doing it with you guys. I think it's great. No one's telling me to make it Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Like Censored isn't even technically paying for this. They pay for the Thursday show. But I'm giving them all these other shows because I like Censored and I think they're really cool. But I've always wondered why we're not like a big super chat show. Cause when I used to do, You Are Here, we'd get a lot of money in super chats, never got to keep a single dollar of it, but that was cool. But we keep 100% of the Rumble rants here. So is it just hard to give? Is it just like hard to give Rumble rants? I think that's what it is. Must just be hard to give on this website. So we'll see. Sounds like you should start a mug club. I do have a mug club. I have a locals and a censored. That is literally a mug club. So that's good. But I guess maybe it's just like, yeah, there's like a little, maybe it's just hard. Oh, we got a Full Moon 13 Waxing said, I just hate when tacos don't come with salsa. True. All right. No stress on sending Rumble rants, but I think we should start encouraging them more because it would be more, it's always been one of my most fun segments is what it is. I love going over what you guys say, asking questions, and maybe I would say it's Bidenomics, but Salty, like you said, does really well with the super chats.
Check so private we'll chats.
Oh, let me see. Oh, thank you to John Richards 1223 for becoming a new Rumble subscriber, And to that's what it is. So congratulations. Thank you, John Richards. 1, 2, 2, 3. That's good. Anyway, to the rest of you guys watching. Oh, we have a few more too. Doomsday Cracker said, this is the new Rob Smith and Don Lemon show. Check this out right here. Looks super gay, they said. And also, Butthead said, you're awesome, Elijah. Yeah, so you guys do give super chats here, and you guys do have the private chat, right? That you can just go here. Rumble's made it impossible to super chat via the app for a while. That might explain it. Yeah, I guess what it is. Sebastian Porca? Anyways, to the rest of you guys watching, thanks so much again for supporting. Oh, and then someone said they only just updated the mobile app to be able to send Rumble rants. Okay, I guess that's true. I guess that's true. Anyways, make fun of me, send super chats, whatever you want. Anyway, to the rest of you guys, have a great rest of the week. Shout out to the team. Thank you to Mike for writing the rundown today, creating the thumbnail, and help making it possible so I can do some other things with these other networks and what's going on. And thank you to Brian for setting up the streams today, getting everything input with the ads, putting up the lower thirds on the screens, and making the advertisers happy. Don't forget to support our advertisers for today, which of course was Hartford Gold. Make sure you transfer your gold directly into a gold and silver backed account and get up to $5,000 of free silver when you call them today or click the link in the description. You can also support the wellness company by getting an emergency kit with all of the things that you need directly, link in the description with all the antibiotics. And also do not forget, particularly, you can also get the Purge Store. Clean your gut out, get it corrected. Lastly, at purgestore.com, promo code Elijah. I want to just read a couple things that are not super chat. Swip J said, Elijah works hard for us against all odds. I'm poor, but he deserves super chats. Dude, thanks for saying that, because honestly, that's true. Also, I'm going to go read the censor chat. Is there super chats on there? I don't know how to use it. I'm going to go look at that right now. I might just be retarded, and I am. But yeah, you know, we have a lot of odds, and I think anybody would have quit this show and just taken a normal job, but we don't stop. NB4Janice404 says, I discovered you, Elijah, in 2020 riots. Watch you on the streets. Thanks for to Austin Zone. Oh, very awesome. That's really cool. Let me go to censored.tv and see if anyone did. I'll just give a shout out before we go to the censored chat. I just spoke to the CEO of Censored today, and I told him that I was going to behead the tech guy, metaphorically speaking, if we don't get the chat working, because they know what we need to do, and I don't know why it's not done. So, Redwater's another awesome show, Elijah. Have a great day. And I don't think there's any, there's no super chats, I think, right now on there. So shout out to Don Lemons too, and Redwater, and to the rest of you guys watching. You guys are awesome, and I greatly appreciate it. Shout out to everybody in the chat. You guys are good. Shout out to Klaus and John Richards and the members, and to Lila Decker and Sven. And then into Censored, we'll just shout out a couple people as well at the end for the hell of it. To Sean Whaley, to Ormagami. We already read Butthead and Deb Stop. That's who's active right now. Okay. All right. That's the end of the show. Have a great rest of the week. Oh, Rod Cox, last in with the Rumble rant. Just threw it in there. You are one of awesome. Thank you for being brave and putting your life on the line to get some of the most important footage of 2020 to 2021. Hope I get to meet you soon one day. Also, no, I will be back out on the field this election cycle, Lord willing. I'm going to invest in a live view and some stuff. So I will be back out on the field. I just don't have any help out here, which is really sad. Like, I try to make street videos and I just can't find people to film for me and stuff. I'm not even joking. I can't find people to film for me. But to the rest of you guys that are here anyway, like literally, like I try to hire people and pay them money and they won't associate with me because this place is that progressive. That's how bad it is out here. And then Full Moon's Three Wax and said, Elijah, you are cool. Shout out to Minxie. All right, to the rest of you guys, have a great rest of the week, as always. And may God bless the United States of America. I'm signing out.